Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. It's great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. We continue in the season of Epiphany, God revealing himself to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And today we have kind of a special focus on the word authority. By what authority do you do and say these things? We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear his word this morning. A couple of words on our first service this morning. The opening hymn is number 401 from God the Father, Virgin Born. Following that hymn, we'll follow the order of Matins. That's on page 219 and following. We have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. One note, the office hymn, and we'll make sure we announce this again when we get there. The office hymn is number 849. 849, praise the one who breaks the darkness. 849. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's take a moment, notice and greet our brothers and sisters around us. If you don't know who you're worshiping next to, take a moment and find out. Remember, in Jesus, we are one. Let's greet each other in the name of the Lord. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's take a moment, bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of Jesus. Jesus, the Savior of the world, Jesus, whom you have revealed to us in your holy and precious word. Heavenly Father, as Jesus lives and dwells among us today, by his word and his word attached to simple things like water, bread, and wine. Teach us not only to trust in him, but to believe in his divine authority. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of the one who was crucified and risen from the dead for us and for our salvation, Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Hymn 401.
Thank you.
page 219. Page 219. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him.
We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
Light His own for the righteous.
be seated. Continue now with our office hymn, number 849, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness, 849.
Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after the Epiphany is from 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians on one of their raids had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord, "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, Wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored, like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all of his company, and he came and stood before him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 1. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak now the gradual appointed for today.
Nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth will fear your glory. For the Lord builds up Zion, he appears.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 8th chapter. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, Go, and he goes. And to another, Come, and he comes. And to my servant, Do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, Truly I tell you, With no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion Jesus said, Go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the common responsory found on page 221. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in thy heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. To the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the mission of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today comes from the gospel lesson just read. Authority. It's an often misunderstood and misused word. And yet it is the key to understanding our gospel lesson for this morning. It's how Christ makes himself manifest or epiphanied in this particular scripture lesson, as the one with God's authority. Simply defined, the word authority means the power or right to give orders, to make decisions, and to enforce obedience. Sometimes you have authority, sometimes you don't. For example, if I went over to the local grocery store, picked up the phone and announced over the loudspeaker that all the employees could have the rest of the day off, do you think any of them would leave? I mean, they might laugh or giggle. They might run around and find who had hijacked their speaker system. But none of them would go home. I don't have that authority. I'm not the boss. Only he could decide when they go home or not. He had authority where I had none. What about if I went over to the local Walgreens and asked the pharmacist to give me a large batch of morphine? Would they? What if I told them I had a lot of pain and I needed the morphine to cover it up? What if I told them I needed some Nexium because I had some acid reflux? If I just walked in the store and asked for those things, the pharmacist would not give it to me. I don't have authority to request prescription drugs. I have to have a note from the doctor. He has authority. I do not. Or, what if I called up the Joint Chiefs of Staff and told them we don't have enough frozen trees here in the United States and that we ought to invade Canada? If I told them to get their troops ready, would they? Of course not. I don't have authority over the army. And if I tried a stunt like that, I'd probably be investigated and arrested. But if the commander-in-chief commanded that we invade Canada, it would be our 51st state tomorrow. It's all a question of authority. Who is the person who has the right to give orders, to make decisions, or to enforce obedience? The question of authority is huge in the Gospel of Matthew. It's contained throughout the entire book from beginning to end. Right before this morning's gospel lesson, Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. And as he comes to the end of his sermon, the people are amazed at Jesus because he spoke with authority, unlike the scribes and teachers of the law. Jesus spoke as one who had the right to give orders, to make decisions, and to enforce obedience. Jesus comes down the mount after the sermon, and he walks into Capernaum as we pick up with our gospel lesson for this morning. A man with leprosy comes before him and says, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." This is a confession of faith from this man that acknowledges Christ's authority over the world. The man doesn't say, "Can you make me clean?" He says, "You can if you wish. You can if you want to." He understands who Jesus is. And as he makes that confession of faith, "Jesus, you have the authority to make me clean," Jesus uses his authority for that man's good. "I will be clean," Jesus says. And at Christ's word, the man is healed, made whole, freed from leprosy. Jesus has the right to enforce obedience, even from deadly diseases. In the second miracle, the authority of Jesus is even more clear. This time, a Roman, a centurion, a member of the occupying army of Israel, comes to Jesus seeking the healing of one of his servants. Jesus immediately offers to go and to heal the man, but the centurion stops him, saying, "I understand authority. I'm a man under authority and who also has authority over others. I tell a soldier to jump and he jumps. I tell a soldier to go and do this and he does. I understand authority, Jesus. And I know that if you only say the word, this man will be healed at the authority of your word." Jesus marvels at this man, a Roman Gentile who understands who Christ is, the one who has authority over everything in this world, over disease, over sickness, and even over death itself. He understands that Jesus is the very Son of God. And so Jesus speaks a word, and the man is healed. Do you see how this works, dear friends? Dear Christians, Jesus has authority over all things, over leprosy, over paralyzation, over blindness, over muteness, over deafness, sickness, bleeding, dropsy, withered hands, and even over death itself. Jesus speaks with authority over the wind and the waves, as we'll hear next week. He has authority to walk on water if he wants, to make bread out of nothing, to make water turn to wine. Jesus has authority. Even authority to forgive sin and grant life. As Matthew's gospel ends, it tells us Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. It has been given to him. He has the right to give orders, to make decisions, and to enforce obedience over the whole world, even over you and over me. He's our ultimate authority. Frankly, that's a little bit frightening to think about, isn't it? It's a little terrifying to know that God in Jesus has authority over you. It's frightening when we consider how we as sinners so often act in response to Christ's authority. I mean, Jesus says, be holy. Are you? Jesus says, go and sin no more. How have you done? He says, worry not about tomorrow, and yet we do it anyways. We don't act holy. We don't live sin-free. We don't avoid worry in our lives. Jesus, in his authority, says one thing, and we do the exact opposite. We ignore his authority. We like to buck authority, don't we? Not just here in the world, but also with God. Earlier in the week, as we were talking about this, Pastor Poppy reminded me of the song by John Cougar Mellencamp, and it's been in my head ever since. I fight authority, and authority always wins. That's the reality, isn't it? It starts when we're little children. We ask our kids to be quiet in church. And they respond at the top of their lungs, why? We ask our kids, don't eat that piece of chocolate. And as soon as we turn around, it's all over their face. My parents, when I was a kid, asked me to clean my room. 3 weeks later, I was still there working on it. We fight authority. It doesn't change as we get older, does it? When the speed limit sign says 35, we drive 40. When the boss says be there by 8, we show up at 8:15. When the boss says, keep the thermostat at 68 degrees, you turn it up because you're cold. The list could go on and on and on. When authorities say something, we fight the authorities. And really, all of that is a violation of God's fourth commandment. And it's with God that the rub really comes. He doesn't just have a fourth commandment, he has 10 commandments. How well do you listen to God's authority in those 10 words? Our sinful natures break those 10 words so often, God tries to make it simpler. He summarizes it down to just two: love your neighbor and love God. Even that we cannot do. God, the ultimate authority, says, do this, and we don't. He says, don't commit adultery. We all do. How much adultery goes on in the world? What are the most visited websites in the world? God says, you shall not steal. How much theft goes on? Not just stealing cars and things, but borrowing and not returning. Cheating on the taxes when they come due. God says, don't tell lies about your neighbor. Don't gossip. Don't covet. But we do. He says, don't harm your neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. But now we can abort babies even hours before they're to be born in the state of New York. Does that hurt or harm that baby's body? God, the ultimate authority, says, here's what I want. These 10 commandments, love God, love your neighbor. And we fight the authority. We think we know better. We substitute our word for his. God promises what awaits those who ignore his authority: a place with weeping and gnashing of teeth. The fire does not go out and the worm does not die. So repent, dear Christian. Repent of doubting that God has authority over you. Repent fighting against him. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. He has the right over you to give orders, to make decisions, and to enforce obedience. It's a right that he earned by his holy passion, by his suffering, by his bleeding, by his dying upon an old rugged cross. He earned his authority by having his life forcibly taken from him. He earned authority by purchasing and winning you, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, innocent suffering and death. He has authority to you because you no longer belong to the devil, the world, or even to your own sinful flesh. You belong to Jesus now. You're under his authority. Dear Christians, he uses that authority. He uses it for your good. Jesus speaks with authority. He authoritatively declares you to be righteous by his work and cancels all of your work. He authoritatively declares that you are covered with his holy righteousness that covers all of your sin. He declares with his authority that when God looks at you, he sees not your guilt or your shame, but the blood of Jesus. He authoritatively declares that in your baptism, in water and in the word, you were adopted into God's family to be a part of that family forever and ever without end. He authoritatively declares that you can eat his flesh and drink his blood and thereby gain the life that he has within himself. He authoritatively declares and reminds you that your sins are completely and totally forgiven. He speaks that word through the mouths of poor, sinful pastors who live under that very same authority of forgiveness. He authoritatively gives you his word right into your ears here in this building so that the Holy Spirit will work faith and trust and belief in you. He authoritatively declares that he loves you and that no matter what, you will always belong in him. He authoritatively declares to you that though in this world you might suffer from cancer, from leprosy, from Alzheimer's, from Parkinson's, from arthritis, or any other malady, that in the end, he will raise your body back to life. To live with God forever. Christ uses his authority over you for your own good, to make you Christians, to grant you forgiveness, life, and salvation. Dear friends in Christ, God has authority over you in Jesus. And that's good news. Need not fear what the world might throw at you. You belong to Jesus. No matter what challenges arise, Christ speaks on your behalf. He holds power over heaven and earth, sickness, health, riches, poverty, and all the rest. He works for your good so that you can have heaven, so that you can have resurrection, so that you can live without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of your eternal life. Dear Christian, you're under Christ's authority. Praise be to our God. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time we continue by singing together the words of the Benedictus on page 226. Page 226, please stand.
be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who uses his authority for us and for our salvation would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Page 227 and following, please stand as you're able. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In addition to the prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we pray for Cammy, friend of Clint Poppy Jr., undergoing emergency surgery in Scotts Bluff. congregational response this morning, Lord, have mercy. For the baptized, that by grace and the power of the Spirit, they would live lives of daily repentance and faith, ever clinging to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors in the church, that they would not be ashamed of the gospel, but would be eager to preach it, recognizing it to be the power and authority of God for salvation to everyone who believes, and for an increase of faithful laborers to be sent out into the Lord's vineyard of grace, that the gospel would be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the congregations of our synod, that they would be places where fidelity to the word of God is found, and where our Lord's compassion and love motivates all they do. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For preschools, day schools, high schools, universities, and seminaries of our synod, especially our own school and preschool, that the blessing of our Lord would be with all who teach and learn in them, and that faithful Christian catechesis would be found in them all. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the missions and missionaries of our synod, that all who are called to serve would be faithful in their endeavors to share the good news about Jesus Christ with all. Especially this day, we pray for Lutherans in Africa and Reverend James May. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who have been placed in authority over us, including our president, our governor, and all those who make, administer, and judge our laws, that they would serve with integrity and honor, having the welfare of us all in mind. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who are sick, hospitalized, recovering, enduring ongoing treatment, or suffering in any way, especially Cammie, Harlan, Laverne, Mark, Bryn, Lucas, Victor, Matthew, Lori, Lois, Bob, Ralph, Luke, and all those that we remember in our hearts. That they would know the Lord's peace and receive healing and relief according to his gracious will. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the family of Al Bach, that they would be comforted by the only comfort which can truly comfort, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and his victory over death and the grave. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The great grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our closing hymn, number 571, God Loved the World, 571. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Kids, go and get some goodies. We'll be back in here in about 10 or 12 minutes for our Sunday school opening. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. We've got lots of activities coming up in the days and weeks ahead. Today kicks off National Lutheran Schools Week, so there'll be activities not only in our own schools, but in the Lutheran schools throughout the city, throughout the district, and throughout the synod. And please keep our schools in your prayers, especially this week. Today is also the deadline for youth that would like to go to higher things this summer. So check out the information in here. And if you have any questions or concerns about that, check with somebody who's in charge and we'll get you figured out. Tuesday this week, Congregational Voters Assembly. Tuesday, January 29, 7 o'clock. Pretty much routine things on the agenda. However, the congregation did receive a large anonymous gift, and that is designated for scholarships for our school. That's one thing that we'll be getting more information on and receiving by the voters, receiving that gift with the stipulations that are there with regard to that gift. So that's Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, congregational voters meeting. Please try to be there. We have the pecan pancake dinner that's coming up in about 9 days or so. And if you check out the table where we have the sign-up sheet for the volunteers, you'll see that we have more empty blanks than we have names filled in. So today's the day, folks. We need lots of help. We need lots of help setting up. We need lots of help serving. And we need lots of help cleaning. And we especially need help next Sunday, either after Bible study or after church, the 10:30 service, setting up and rearranging the fellowship hall. So some strong-backed individuals, I don't care how old you are, or male or female, but we got a lot of work that needs to be done next Sunday. So check that out. It's for a great cause, Pediatric Cancer Action Research, and so check that out. Also, on Thursday of this coming week, no, that's next Thursday, Thursday, February 7, is that right, Rich? Thursday the following week, there is a very important class that's going to be taking place here. Stop the Bleed. This has nothing to do with stewardship, by the way. But Stop the Bleed, it's a class that is being put on by the safety committee here at Good Shepherd. You know, there's lots of things that go on in and around churches in our world. We've been working hard to look at some security issues. You may notice some night lights and things in places that they haven't been in the past. Taking a good hard look at security and safety, and this Stop the Bleed class is an important first step in that. Underneath the flag, right behind Jim Kirk's head, is a sign-up sheet for the Stop the Bleed class. Doesn't cost anything, but it would be nice to know if we have anybody showing up. So this is something that would be good not only for leaders in the congregation, but for leaders in your family, and I think that's all of you. Also, the radio station KNNA is having a big fundraiser, and Jim is back there at the table selling tickets. If you have any questions about that, check the news and notes, or you can talk to Jim directly. Seating is limited. If you don't get your seat ahead of time, probably won't get in. Pictures. Winter stage two. We're starting to take pictures for the directory.
The pictures will be taken on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings in February. You're already dressed up nice and neat for church, and so you can just stop by and get your pictures taken, and that way we'll have those ready to go for the picture directory. Also, Thursday is Lifelight Bible Study as well.
So. Okay, all right. And we're doing this pictorial directory in-house, and so we got lots of volunteers that are working together and really looking forward to this much-needed project. You're all invited for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. Two opportunities for Bible study. We'll continue our look at Romans in the fellowship hall. Summary of Christian Doctrine is winding down. Room 109. What are you studying today, Pastor?
The Office of the Keys.
The Office of the Keys. All right. Authority.
Authority.
Authority ties in well with the sermon. I'm not even going to ask you. All right. Join us for coffee and goodies. Check out the different tables and extra things in your news and notes. Very, very busy time and a lot of opportunity to exercise our faith toward God and our love toward one another. Have a great day and week in the Lord.